fellow Retronaut. As you may know, it's time once again for this year's holiday special. And as you may also know, we've had some recurring safety issues the last six times we've done one of these. So for the seventh, and hopefully not the last, annual extravaganza, I've invested nearly all of our Patreon funds into teleportation technology. With just a simple pull of the lever directly in front of you, you'll soon be transported via wormhole to my holiday cabin in parts unknown for yet another festive celebration. Oh, and you will be exposed to all known information throughout time in the process, which in some cases has been known to cause complete insanity. The safety suit should protect you from most of it. And you'll be happy to know that by listening to this tape, you've waived all rights to sue the Retronauts Corporation, so we're totally covered there. And we'll see you soon!
A date which will live in infamy.
Later he gets the rebound, passes it to the man, shoots it, and boom goes the dynamite.
Oh, hello there. I'm just going to assume that all of your molecules were put back in the exact right place, and if not, we've got plenty to spare here at the Holiday Cabin. And please, take a complimentary copy of Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium with you. After all, they're not going to throw themselves away.
And I'm here to celebrating the holiday season with Master.
That's right. Due to popular demand, my robot friend Steve is back, and this time he's going to sit in for the entire episode.
I have preloaded my jokes file with plenty of laughs for the Retronauts friends.
That's right, Steve. We've had so much fun these past few years, but it'll be finally nice to have you sit in and... Steve, is that noise coming from you?
Master, the boss wants to see you in Conference Room B.
Boss? Conference Room B? As far as I know, I'm one of two bosses, and this cabin doesn't even have a Conference Room B. Steve, shut yourself down while I figure this out.
But, Master, I wanted to be on the show.
Okay, it's time to figure out just what the hell is going on here. Huh, this door wasn't here last year. Wow, it is really hot in here.
Hello, Mr. Mackey. Please have a seat.
Am I supposed to know who you are?
Well, thanks to certain rollbacks in net neutrality, I've recently purchased Retronauts. And I left a very important role as Chief Executive Branding Manager at ZimZam.com to do so.
ZimZam? I'm not sure what that is or what it means.
Neither do I, but I did create dozens upon dozens of important meetings. The All Hands of 2015 will go down in history!
So, can I help you with anything?
Mr. Mackey, above all, I'm devoted to delivering snackable content to our core 13 to 16-year-old demographic. I'm not especially familiar with these podcasts of yours, but an analyst I've hired has told me they're upwards of 90 minutes long.
Well, you know, we have been doing this for 11 years, and I think our audience likes...
Well, I think we need to get these things down to 2 minutes, and couldn't this office be more fun? Why don't we get some TV set up in here and some speakers playing the hottest hits from the 90s, the 2000s, and today?
I only play music during these holiday get-togethers. If it was playing all the time, I'd be too distracted to do my job.
Yes, and about that. Is there a way I can hire someone to do what you do for free? Of course, they'll be paid in exposure and the occasional free t-shirt.
For free? Listen, I don't think
that... Mr. Mackey, I'm good at business, and no business has ever grown by paying people. We measure our success in money, after all.
Listen, my friends are about to show up. This is the seventh time we've done this holiday thing, and it's kind of important to me. Can we figure this out after the show?
Yes, but while you're podcasting, can you think of some things to do with Game of Thrones? People love Game of Thrones.
Sure. I'll get on that. Steve, music! Oh, that guy. I'm so mad my voice is starting to get hoarse. I might even sound different for the rest of the recording. Fine, whatever. That sounds like my guest, and the show has to go on. Come on in, guys. How's it going? Sorry if I sound so hoarse. I just had a meeting with a new boss, and I'm kind of shaken up a little bit. We'll get through this. We'll have a good time like we do every holiday. Let me introduce everybody here. Who's across from me?
Hi, I'm Matt Jay. What are all these chains on the floor for?
Don't worry about that. You'll find out after the podcast, after I stop recording. Who else is here?
Pixelated banana, Chris Antista.
Yes, bananas are the currency in the world we're going to be talking about. And who else is our final guest in the Christmas cabin?
Inka Dinkadoo's favorite son, Henry Gilbert.
That's racist. I think it is. So, yes, it's been a common Retronauts tradition that every Christmas I invite all my best Retronauts guests to the cabin, and we talk about a bad Christmas cartoon that's video game related. Unfortunately, we've been through all of them to date. Except for this one, and we are scraping the bottom of the barrel with Donkey Kong Country.
See what you did there.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I didn't mean to do that. God damn it. Well, today we'll be talking about the Donkey Kong Country episode, the Congo Bongo Festival of Lights, which aired on December 23rd, 1999. But first, I want to go over Donkey Kong Country in general, both the game and the TV series.
It's your favorite, right?
Oh, I love it. It's better than Mario. It's better than Zelda. Better than Sonic and Bubsy. And better than a Punky Skunk, of course.
Well, better than Bubsy.
Almost as good as Donkey Kong 2.
Yes, almost.
Say it ain't so. I will not go.
They've got that great Happy Birthday remix in there. So, yes. So Matt is here, and I'm sure Matt hates this, but we always point out that Matt is younger than us.
Mm-hmm.
But he was the intended audience for this cartoon.
Oh, I never saw this cartoon.
Really?
I saw it on Fox Kids when I was too old to – I mean, frankly, I think I've always been too old for this cartoon.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Matt was the appropriate age for Donkey Kong Country, the TV series.
I had a driver's license and was just like waist deep in
– I was nine. I was nine and I was too old to watch this stupid show.
I don't know. I mean, did you watch it as a kid, Matt?
I watched a lot of it. So you know how when you're a kid and you know you don't care, just give me all the garbage and put it in my brain?
You don't have a lot of agency to like – if I don't like the show, what am I going to
do?
Do? There's two channels.
That's the thing.
Show shit I like.
This was one of those shows. So you know when you're a kid, you have those shows where you're like, I don't like this, but it's on.
It feels crazy to me to be a kid, thinking about being a kid with something like Netflix. Like, I don't like
today,
this.
Kids can do whatever they want.
Yeah, I mean, I hated Inspector Gadget. It was a frustrating show. But I watched it over and over again because it was on. Yeah. It was a cartoon.
Yeah, did I actually like Hey Dude? I don't know. I don't know if I did or not.
Probably not.
I bought one episode for my PS Vita and I haven't watched it yet.
Oh my God.
That is a true story.
Are you a Melody guy?
Fuck yeah.
Okay,
Ben Stiller's an idiot.
Who was the brunette on the show?
Brad.
Brad, okay. I was a Brad boy.
You know a lot about this show. I do.
Yeah. Hey, dude.
But Matt, tell us about what you know of this series. I need to know from a
millennial perspective.
You're a true millennial. We're all like in this weird borderline area where there are millennials
rules.
And nothing makes sense and Gen X looks down on us and millennials are afraid of us. So tell us what you think of this show.
So when I was nine, I played video games, but I wasn't a knowledgeable gamer or whatever. But I was still like, this show's too late. Like, this is 1999. By this point, there were, what, three Donkey Konga games and Donkey Kong Country games?
We have not entered the age of Donkey Kong.
Not yet. DK64 was before this, right?
It was. After. It was 99.
And this whole show, like, there's no Kitty Kong. There's no – like, it's all from the first game.
The continuity of the series that it borrows from ends at 2. So it has Dixie Kong but no – Baby Kong.
Okay. Is it Baby Kong or Kitty Kong?
I think it's Kitty Kong, actually.
Okay.
Either way, they're unrecognizable. They changed the designs. Mm-hmm. I checked.
Oh, no. They're all wrong. Mm. The designs are all wrong.
Yeah. It's when they were making the show, they were like, how can we make these designs even uglier?
And how can we make Donkey Kong's ass offensively supple? It is huge. It's in the opening. You can see just a giant ass.
So there's a lot of musical numbers in the show.
Yeah.
So that's not limited to this episode.
No way.
No. I didn't know this until Henry told me that one of the voice actors was cast on OKKO because of their singing performance on the show.
On OKKO, they had a one-off episode where two characters fell in love and they do a basically a somewhere out there type song moment. And so when he's thinking of casting somebody to do the singing voice of the regular character on the show, Rad, that the creator of the show, Ian Jones-Cordy, normally voices, he's like, well, who's a great singer that's gettable? The singing voice of Donkey Kong from Donkey Kong Country.
That's right. There is a speaking voice and a singing voice, and they're very different.
And the singing voice is like a sexy R&B black dude.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's like a seal almost.
This
doing
is
this.
All very much when you find out it's a French production.
Well, Canadian.
Well, it, a lot of different countries. It has the then the R&B makes a lot more sense that it feels like a very outsider's idea of like mm-hmm. I've heard these R&B songs from America. I like that style.
Get
I'll
Pure West to make the opening song.
Yes, in fact. Yeah. So we're getting ahead of ourselves. So this is based on the games, and if you did not grow up in the mid '90s, the games were huge, and that.
Couldn't be bigger.
This helped Nintendo win the console war in the 16-bit era. Nintendo fooled people into thinking their SNESs had the power of an SGI workstation within them.
Yeah.
While Sega was giving you expensive hardware add-ons, Nintendo was like, no, we'll just cheat and make people think things are going on that aren't. And that has been their gimmick forever from like Arcade Punch-Out up until this time.
You want Toy Story graphics? That was a thing people asked for.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
Toy Story graphics.
And Jurassic Park.
And they will pretend that these pre-rendered basically photographs of polygons are polygons being made in the game. And you got to give it to Rare for being so good with the tech to fool people.
I mean,
like
it's just
that.
It's basic animation, like faking 3D.
I mean, essentially it's all like animated GIFs moving around a static background. Yeah, but it looked on an SDTV in 1994. It looked good. It looked like Toy Story.
I tell
would.
That story all the time. My first girlfriend I broke up with on the last level of Donkey Kong Country 2 because I like, leave me alone. Like, this is important. I rented this.
Well, and the Donkey Kong Country fit a lot better with the Play It Loud advertising campaign than even, say, Yoshi's Island or Tetris Attack did. Mm-hmm. This was a monkey, and monkeys are wild and crazy. They throw, bananas. They can't actually throw shit in the commercials, but it really fit with their Play It Loud branding. Same with the ports of the Donkey Kong Country games to the Game Boy Color or Game Boy Regular that looked even shittier.
Which is the one I grew up with. Donkey Kong Land, I played a lot more than Dark Country
music,
as a kid.
The music in those games was all like amazing chiptune versions of the SNES. But like in some cases, even better than the SNES music, which was great.
I crap on the DKC games because they absolutely are not as good as, say, Yoshi's Island or Super Mario World, contemporary 2D games made in Japan by the Nintendo core team. But they're not terrible games.
No, I've been playing some of them recently. They're pretty fine.
They feel very flashy. By that I mean Adobe program. And it's there is something about – the same reason I don't love New Super Mario Brothers. If you can make that game every 8 months, it's probably not that great.
Yeah.
And it also – I felt like they fucked it up from the second game where it's like – I play Donkey Kong games to play as Donkey Kong.
Yeah,
for 2 and 3, they take Donkey Kong away from you. For 3, they even take away Diddy.
It's
they're like,
Diddy
you don't even get to be
it's
Diddy.
Dixie and Kitty in 3.
You
like,
can visit your hero, your namesake, at some point in the game.
I was a Diddy man.
I still am a Diddy man.
Chris is a Diddy man.
I am. It's the only amiibo I purchased, really. Like, I have 2 Diddies because of those detonations, but I love Diddy for some reason.
And then, though, after the Kong games, they made Rare make Donkey Kong 64, and that was the last Rare Donkey Kong game. They did make the the Diddy Kong racing games as well. But then Nintendo took over and made kind of half Donkey Kong Country games with the Kong, the bongo
Jungle
games.
Beat and a bunch of other weird barrel blasts.
And then Mario versus Donkey Kong, which is a takeoff of Donkey Kong 94.
Yes, yeah.
But it still used the pre-rendered graphics to kind of fool you.
Then deviated from a game. Oh, I love the first Mario versus Donkey Kong, and I hate everything else that came out.
Yeah, they're like, no, we wanted to make lemmings. Like, I didn't want you to make lemmings. I want you to make Donkey Kong.
We have enough lemmings in the world.
But can we talk about how bizarre that is? Because I wanted your Nintendo knowledge on this. One big thing, the characters talk. I don't know why. Nintendo characters don't speak.
Yeah.
And they especially don't speak in Western media. And how did this get through? How did
this
come out?
I wonder if there was like a weird loophole that Rare could license this instead of Nintendo.
I have to imagine.
Yeah.
But the credits are like – created by Shigeru Miyamoto. He's credited on the production.
He never saw this.
This feels
But it aired in Japan and had a bunch of merch apparently.
Yeah, well, I think like they tried to hide this from English-speaking countries because it debuted in France 2 years before the dub aired in America. So this is a French series.
But like you know the stories of like Nintendo had that anime cartoon. They hated it. They were embarrassed by the Deke cartoon.
Yeah.
There hasn't been anything that's not Pokemon.
Soon,
doesn't happen.
Soon the Minions people will be making a Mario movie. But
it is surprising this made it through.
But this got through. It's so they clearly didn't care that much about Donkey Kong anymore because they basically gave it a Rare.
I wonder if it is that they just made a deal in France and other countries with the idea America would never see it. But then eventually they're like, the money's too good. Let's just license it to Fox Kids, formerly mm-hmm. the Family Channel.
And it's 98. The heat is off Donkey Kong Country. We can, safely air this.
Man, I love that channel when it aired. Fox Family? Holy mm-hmm. shit.
This was a big push for that network, too. And then eventually moved to the – it became part of the slew of 4Kids Yu-Gi-Oh!
Oh,
stuff.
God, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it was still like a garbage deposit of like everything I loved that was canceled because the channel just started off every morning – after Pat Robertson, mm-hmm. Bobby's World and Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Mm-hmm. And then the Teen Wolf ripoff.
Yeah. Well, you had all the Saban shows. Like, that's where Power Rangers went to live, too. All the Chaim Saban shows, which that guy's a piece of crap. Like, he's – if you wonder why the X-Men cartoon looks like dog shit, it's because he wouldn't spend an extra penny on it.
Read the oral history. Where is that posted?
That's on Hollywood Reporter.
It's really good.
There's also a very good article on LaserTimePodcast.com.
Thank you. I wrote that. I did not write that at all.
So I want to go over some basics about this series. There are two seasons, 40 total episodes. The first season is much bigger. There's a lot of this, by the way. So Reboot, which came out in 1994, mm-hmm. beat the series to the punch as being the first fully CGI kids cartoon.
Roly-Poly-Oly, I believe.
Roly-Poly-Oly?
That was before?
I thought it was the first CG the first CG cartoon.
I'm pretty sure Reboots.
It can't predate Reboot.
Reboot's 94.
Yeah,
it's pretty, Reboot's it's pretty early. Old. Reboot also
just covering
really
our
looks
bases. Roly-Poly-Oly.
Yeah. I mean, it was still too early to do this in a series, but yeah. because DKC was a very CGI-looking game, it's very fitting. Unfortunately, this does not use traditional animation. It uses motion capture, which made it – I read on the wiki it made it ineligible for an Emmy. This was not going to win an Emmy to begin with. Like, what are you even talking about?
Look at the animation Emmys. Like, sometimes you think that until you look at the list of them and you're like, oh, well, anything animated can win an Emmy.
That's true, but even they have some standards. I don't think this could sneak in, especially this episode.
No one voting for those has watched any. They just tick a box.
My kid likes that crap.
Yeah, my dumbass kid likes it. I only see him twice a year. So,
so as Matt pointed out, it's a musical series. Each episode has either one or two songs. Nobody asked for this, but I think it's a way to pad out the source material.
I don't know if anybody asked for this, but this was a mild Nintendo tradition with their shows.
Okay.
Because the Mario shows
the
were
montages.
Very, very musical.
Swing your arms.
Well, no, we had taped them and then we had to export them onto tape for the Super Mario World cartoon. Every episode mm-hmm. contained a unique song.
Like a cover of a popular song.
No, sometimes
there were covers.
I remember Yoshi's Looking For You. Looking for you. Great. My parents must have loved hearing that come out of a He-Man cassette player every day.
This series has what I call like cheap theme jokes mm-hmm. where they're not real jokes. You just apply these common terms to everyday things and you have a joke like I'm going to drive my banana car to the palm tree festival.
It should be the only reason I'm here because I could barely pay attention to this episode.
It's a struggle. It's a struggle.
But just to talk briefly about Nilvana, the mm-hmm. people who made this cartoon, because I think this was part of a wild experiment from them because they're a Canadian animation renegades responsible for – they're guaranteed to be responsible for something you love or hate. Mm. There's no Juggernaut that came out of there. They're a Canadian company. They're owned by the same people who own Teletoon. So if you're Canadian, odds are you watched this show there.
You watched it on Teletoon. That seems like a conflict of interest.
I mean Cartoon Network owns Hanna-Barbera. Like,
that's true.
What is it? An elephant?
Polar bear.
Yeah, polar. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if you see that logo, you'll recognize it from a million places.
I would call them most famous for Care Bears because they ended up getting an entire movie out of that. But like Eek the Cat, Beetlejuice cartoon,
Adam's Family? Do they make that?
I don't think they made – I don't know. But like they made –
Hanna-Barbera actually.
You're right.
Almost everything. Like about 50% of the animated product you've seen on television comes from Nelvana in some way. That or like Lorimar. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But they've done a lot. Have you seen that polar bear touch the thing at the end? And we just talked about it on our Christmas episode. They're forever intertwined with Christmas because here's something you won't know about. A Cosmic Christmas, a very good – somehow still Jesus-y Christmas special from 1977 but has aliens in it that George Lucas saw and said, hey, you want to animate my Boba Fett from Star Wars Holiday Special? That would be great. So Nilvana are the first people to bring Boba Fett to life in the Star Wars Holiday Special.
It's the only good thing in the Star Wars Holiday Special, and even it sucks.
Okay. Well, but what we're missing is Nilvana stepped in after the fact to make the show quote-unquote better.
Yeah.
So Media Lab is the company who made the deal to make this show. They storyboarded 10 episodes and they were full of racist jokes.
Whoa, really? Whoa.
Sexist jokes and inappropriate content. So Nirvana was hired to basically be script doctors.
This
so
is them fixing something?
There was too much work done on the first 10 episodes, so they had to be animated as is. They wrote new scripts around the existing scripts.
Are there examples in the thing you're reading?
The interview I read with the writer of this episode we're talking about didn't give examples, but she was part of the staff that helped rewrite those episodes. So yeah, the first 10 were rewritten by Nirvana, and I think they just took over writing duties after that.
Wow. Man.
But no, you should look up Nirvana because odds are it'll conjure some memory in your head, some shitty cartoon you don't remember.
I looked up a couple others. They did like the Max and Ruby cartoon, all the Babar stuff. In the
So the Adventures of Tintin they did. But they animated stuff around the world.
That Tintin show was good. The like late 80s, early 90s.
I watched a ton of it, yeah.
Yeah, it was a good show.
It was well adapted outside of the cigars and guns. Were you, were any of you else browsing the IMDb trivia for this?
No.
Okay. I might have.
This is earmuffs, children, because this was stupid. Let's see. The show had a large line of merchandise in Japan, including a collectible card game. I read that.
And manga.
And then Candy Kong, Dixie Kong, and Funky Kong are the only characters that look entirely different from their video game. Thank you, IMDb. Yes. Some information about the DVD. Oh, and I'm like, this looks juicy. What does this say? The entire series was thought to be canceled after the studio was bought by Warner Brothers and the Donkey Kong rights reverted back to Nintendo. This is via IMDb trivia page. So then Cory in the House was used as the replacement on the show on the schedule. However, it was revealed in a TMZ interview that Donkey Kong could no longer expand his dong as far as he could before a near-fatal stunt in the show where Candy and Dixie had to climb his dong to safety from a burning building. The weight of the two was too heavy and resulted in Donkey's dong being ripped from his balls.
I think IMDb needs some better moderation.
One out of one person found this interesting.
So clearly nobody is going to the trivia section for
that's
this
series. That's how barren it is.
Yes. Hey, all of our listeners, go in and write your own trivia. No one will ever find out.
We'll give a, I'll give a prize of the funniest one.
Bob Mackey's favorite show.
So clearly,
no, don't do that.
So clearly whoever licensed this licensed it to the wrong people, and then Nirvana just cleaned it up as best they could.
Yeah. And they I think Media Lab still animated it, but Nirvana took over
writing
duties.
Did they work on Ren and Stimpy a little bit?
I don't think so. No, Nirvana,
no. That was games.
Carbuncle was their Canadian studio.
Okay, that's what I'm thinking
of. So if you know about how CGI animation is made, you can definitely see the shortcuts on display here. So,
good God.
Shots are staged so characters don't have to walk anywhere unless they absolutely have to.
K. Rool never shows his
characters
legs.
Teleport on this show.
They really do, yeah. It's like
everything happens off screen. Oh, an explosion's about to – no.
Because they said mo-capped, and I'm like, nobody moves like this. What do they mean by mo-capped? It's like you animate the arm by – like with a Wii control?
Whatever was happening was not done effectively. There was like three tennis balls glued to somebody.
That's how French people move.
I still think it's sort of impressive. And just to go to bat for 1 second, we've talked about a lot of other Christmas specials on here. And just last year on our Patreon, we watched Sonic's Christmas Blast.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's one of the worst things that's ever happened. And it's only 3 or 4 years before this one.
Yeah.
So this is miles away better than one of the worst things I've ever seen.
I mean, this is just more boring than Sonic Blast is terrible.
It's terrible. Yeah. It's insulting your intelligence. It's the worst. But this is at least like there are jokes and it's
technically.
I don't know. It feels like a completely different product. Like animation has changed.
Well, from the bad animation standpoint too, I felt like I could see the mouse cursors moving Donkey Kong's eyebrows. Like it's just so
and
bad.
Nobody's got eyelids. Nope. They have like the whites of their eyes and the pupils blink for
it's
them
gross,
because it'd be too much
to
animate.
There's several times in it where it took me a minute to realize they're zooming in on these eyes to make you think somebody's about to cry or he's tearing up. I was like, I can't tell because this just looks like it's horrible.
Yeah, I mean,
all
the anatomy is like balloon animals made of meat. Yeah. Like they just you can see the segment on like where their arm meets their upper arm and when they're
where
like
their butt meets their back.
Yeah, it stretches like whenever they move.
A bunch of weird sausage links. It's not right. I mean, this reminds me of the Adult Swim series that would happen a decade later. Xavier Renegade Angel.
That's
this
in my notes.
But Xavier looks better than this. Yeah. They actually make new props. They actually Xavier runs around like crazy.
And they were intentionally trying to make that look bad.
Love life. Living life, love.
Oh, what is life?
I fucking love Xavier. Like, watch Xavier Renegade Angel. It's one of the funniest
things. Don't listen
things.
To Diana.
It made it on the DVD. I have the fucking DVD of Xavier Renegade Angel. I don't know how. But
you have to imagine at this point, this technology was not readily available. And when they talk about Pixar stuff, they like, have you ever been there and seen their server room? It's incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Because this – I imagine they were denied – this is an animated production that was denied processing power because there's clearly not a lot of characters allowed to be on screen, not a lot of movement,
the
not a lot of objects.
The sets are pretty barren, yeah.
Water is a blue carpet.
We can talk about it like a game. I think it's because it lacked – processing power in order to make that possible.
Yeah,
I'm sure
it still took like 3 days to render one of those frames, though.
Yeah,
because it's animation. 3D animation has a lot more like weird computer work and time than people realize.
Yeah,
but I mean, ultimately, I was refreshed to know that the cartoons I watched a decade earlier, the video game cartoons I watched a decade earlier, were not any better. Than this. Nothing happened in that decade. Nothing was made better. Nothing improved. They still made just garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very – because I do speak from the perspective of someone – man, kids' animation today is fucking great.
Mm-hmm.
It is really good.
I'm jealous of
you. SpongeBob, I'm sure that's still on and there's something good on Nickelodeon. I don't have that channel. But Cartoon
Loud
Network
– huh? Loud House.
Roundhouse, right. Loud that show House. Was great too. No, I'm on – acknowledges Roundhouse.
The creator was recently fired, so we can feel okay watching it again.
Okay.
But like everything on Cartoon Network now is like clearly made by people who are like us who grew up loving this stuff and wanted it to be a little better. And they'll do the best they can with limited budgets.
Nothing is made by fired sitcom writers trying to make a paycheck.
Even the shows I don't like on Cartoon Network, like, this is undeniably funny and I can see why a kid would like it.
Yeah.
Good job. Mm-hmm. And I did not feel that way revisiting anything I liked as a kid.
Nope.
Anything.
So let's get into the actual episode. It is called The Congo Bongo Festival of Lights, aired on December 23rd, 1999. And as with the Pac-Man Christmas special we did last year, it opens with a fun variant on Twas the Night Before Christmas, except there are bananas and whatever the fuck. Who cares? But we do learn about the ongoing race war in the Donkey Kong Country universe. Let's hear it.
What's your favorite part of the holiday, Cranky?
The truce between lizards and apes. The Congo Bongo Festival of Lights is the one day a year we don't have to worry about that Pongak Karul trying to steal the crystal coconut.
The one day a year it's completely safe.
I do like Cranky's voice. He sounds like William Hickey.
He sounds like the grandma from Dinosaurs.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
That's true, but you can just hear the phlegm rattling around in his throat. It's good. It's a good voice, but yes.
I like a good Semitic gorilla.
He's a little bit Jewish, yeah.
Hey. Of all the characters they had to redesign, I think Diddy is the ugliest. Like,
he's the worst voice too.
Yeah, his voice. He doesn't have Nintendo
on
his head anymore.
Can't allow it.
Scrappy
Doo. I'm not a fan of that.
He is. It sucks. So we learn there it's not Christmas. It's the Congo Bongo Festival of Lights,
which is the Hanukkah, right?
Because
the Festival of Lights,
I guess. Yeah. But also, it's because I never like when like the Flintstones celebrate Christmas, because it's like you shouldn't have this yet.
You don't know.
There's
Christ
no Christ
is.
Kong.
There
we
is
learn.
No Gorilla Christ.
Yeah,
Jesus Shale. I couldn't come up with a good rock at the last second.
We see the dark forbidden god that Donkey Kong worships later in this episode. But
that's
true. The crystal coconut is introduced as sort of the Triforce of this world, in which all it holds all the power.
It into Donkey Kong 64, I believe. This did inform the series.
This is every episode.
Yeah, like everybody's trying to get the crystal coconut. Correct?
I mean, it's the Smurf berries of the show.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
They modeled – it was probably because it's see-through. It was probably the most expensive thing they had to model. Mm-hmm. And they're like, we're going to get our goddamn money's worth out of this fucking
coconut.
It's got to
show up every time.
Yeah. Coconuts are the one – like when they're like, okay, we've said banana too many times. Say coconut.
We got one other fruit to use. That's it. So we go to King K. Rool's base, and even he is kind-hearted enough to give his lizard army the day off for the Congo Bongo Festival of Lights.
Mm.
And we hear about his remembrances of his past Festival of Lights. And again, these aren't jokes. It's like, I remember eating swamp burgers and French flies. Like, they're not jokes. They're just substituting words. Let's hear it.
They're freedom flies.
Oh, my favorite part is going back to the swamp lands to play gator games with all my slithering siblings. We just roll around in the muck all day, drinking bog nog and exchanging villain stories. And then later, we will gorge on one of Mummy's homemade mud pies. Oh, I can almost smell it now.
That's King K. Rool. The of course, everyone knows it's just like Bowser of that universe.
Oh, totally.
Very famous villain.
This and his home is a minecart level as well.
Yes, and hashtag Gator Games.
So this is a plotting issue I have with this episode, that the storyline that happens for the henchmen should just be K. Rool's. Like, you should focus on the main villain of the show in an episode like this instead of basically finding, like, not even Starscream, like the sub Starscream of the show, and making it his emotional story. I feel like this would have worked much better if the Skeletor of the show was the one who went through an emotional journey.
Do you know, Matt, does he ever leave? He has no legs as far as I can tell. Can he leave there?
I've seen him dance in other clips.
Yeah, okay. Somewhere.
Okay. Because I thought that was why, because the person who can leave and go behind enemy lines, as it said, he had to be the star.
His functioning legs. The henchman Clump has no family, and he's very sad to be left alone on the Festival of Lights. And he has his own song that lasts for about 2 minutes. Here's part of it.
Good God.
No.
It's so sincere.
They do it so many times.
I've always been the only one.
See, I didn't hate this.
No. On my own. Just the way it would sound.
How expensive was meatloaf in 1999?
And I bet they're all together eating pizza mud pies as they cozy on the sofa watching Swamp Gas rise.
And here's what I think this sounds like, the actual song. Let's hear it.
The lift is up where we belong.
Oh, yeah.
Am I right?
Yes. Please don't turn off the music while I'm singing like this.
What is this? Is this from Top Gun? With the pizza mud pies
and the swamp gas.
It's from An Officer and a Gentleman.
Yes.
I did have to laugh at the when they cut to him like playing the piano and the candelabra. I was like, wow.
That's pretty fun.
It's like Elton John meets Joe Cocker meets Billy Joel.
Yeah. And also those other gators, like his dancing gators with him. I was like, this is the absurdity of this is funny.
Way better than any other video game cartoon special.
It was like a seal
seen.
Video.
Yeah. And I did find out through constant Googling, there is a Donkey Kong Jr. Christmas thing from Super K.
Okay, we're doing that next year.
Maybe from the Earthworm Jim cartoon. I don't know.
The problem is that Super Kade is like there. It only exists off of VHS tapes. Like they look the worst.
And if you think it's hard to license, then I found a clip of Qbert just performing a Michael Jackson song.
Oh,
that thing is never going to see the light of day commercially.
So Donkey Kong, being the banana fiend he is getting everyone bananas for the Festival of Lights. Mm-hmm. And we are introduced to the uncomfortably sexy Candy Kong.
Too sexy.
The writer of this episode said she looks like a burn victim. So let's hear her, and then we'll hear a bit of Funky Kong.
Hi, DK.
Hi, Creamy. Candy.
I thought you'd be on the beach setting up the fireworks display.
You know how much I love your banana cream pies.
Well, not as much as you're gonna love the present I got you.
Present?
She presents.
Waiting until later. I can't wait to see what you got me.
I got it.
Hey, Donkey Dude.
Hi, Funky. Going surfing?
Negative, D-Man. I'm tripping a move to Cranky's to deliver your present. You'll be cruising your karma on a high tide real soon.
It sounds like everyone got me really great presents.
I hope you like Indicamon.
They did remove all the racism, you're right.
Yeah. Yes.
Did anybody else, not Matt, did anybody else expect Donkey Kong to sound like that? Like I was, my mouth dropped to the floor. Like he sounds like a kid.
He sounds like Sonic the Hedgehog almost.
Yeah,
he's supposed to be a dad with a tie. Like he's
when
a father.
You hear Funky there, like that is exactly how I expected Donkey Kong to sound in a cartoon. Yeah. What's up, dudes? Yeah. I'm Donkey Kong.
There's
That's
also,
what I expected.
I totally agree. There's some weird continuity issues in this episode. Of course, I must bring them up. In which in this scene, Funky is showing Donkey Kong the surfboard Cranky is getting him for Christmas.
Yeah.
And it has his tie on and everything. And immediately after they see that, they say, oh, Cranky must be getting me these glow-in-the-dark pajamas. He just saw the present.
Yeah.
Cranky's getting him. What the hell?
Right there. Well,
Ian notices ass during that sequence to prove that they intentionally made Donkey Kong's ass more supple and delicious.
Well, I feel like I think cost-saving measures, like Funky and Donkey are the same design. Like they just swapped hands.
Put sunglasses on them.
Yeah. And I would say this candy is not half as uncomfortably sexualized as she is in a couple of the games.
I mean, they don't have the technology to make clothes, so it's more like latex body paint on this character.
Yeah.
It's kind of disturbing.
Well, she can't be nude like the dudes. It would be a different feel. I remember on Robot Chicken, they did a gag about that from Rescue Rangers. It was that all of the guys are bottomless, but then Gadget decides to walk around bottomless too, and everybody freaks out like she's naked. And she's like, but you guys never wear pants either. I'm just not wearing pants.
So Donkey Kong needs advice for his Christmas present.
Because he's buying people bananas, and it turns out that's how fucking stupid he is. I don't like what an idiot Donkey Kong is.
That's like getting people gift cards on
it's
their
like,
island.
I got you something I found on a tree. Good.
Yeah, exactly.
Have fun with this. But so he turns to his dark god, who thankfully does not need any animation to talk.
Oh, you gotta help me, Inka Tinkadoo! I'm desperate! What can I do?
Look into the heart of your enemy to discover the greatest gift of all.
So inexplicably, this African god is named after a Jimmy Durante reference. I don't know why.
God. Yeah, there's actually one of my favorite ones, songs that I'd seen in a clip package of songs for this show was Donkey Kong demanding Inka Dinka tell him how to know everything.
I want to know the secrets that the crystal holds and all the magic power that it brings. I'm the big kahuna. I should know what's going on. Inka Dinka, tell me everything.
Wow. Okay, yeah. So
That animation's even wilder than in this episode.
Yes, it looks like he's being electrocuted like Mr. Ed or something to move his mouth. But we should point out, I didn't mention that the animation in the second season is actually better. Like, they improved the technology, but this looks bad. This looks really, really bad.
Yeah, I can't tell exactly if it's bad for 97. I can't think of another CG animated show.
Reboot
Futurama
looked a little better. Well, there was also the Transformers Beast Machines Wars. And Beast Wars.
Oh, that looked terrible too.
Yeah, but their trick on that was they were robots, so they could be stiffer.
They didn't have to move their eyes at all.
I would say the Optimus Prime gorilla looks better than any gorilla in Donkey Kong.
We're still pre-Jimmy Neutron, which was kind of the breaking point.
The high point for computer animation.
Well, the trick with Jimmy Neutron was they made a movie, and then they're like, well, we got these assets already.
All the models.
Let's just do
You're
it.
You're right.
Aaron Carter can sing a song, put a bow on it.
So DK meets Klump, and they find a common goal in mind.
Then I guess I am the only one all alone today.
Aren't you behind enemy lines?
Well, I was just, to be honest, I come out here every year to see the fireworks. I just love them fireworks.
Well, there isn't going to be any.
No fireworks, but that's all I got!
Sorry, but I have to find presents for all my friends first.
Well, say, now, being a truce and all, maybe I could help you find them presents.
You mean it?
Affirmative. And maybe in return, you'd let me have a front row seat for them fireworks, huh?
It's a deal!
I mean, Klump is just seconds away from having a Mo Sizzlak No Funeral Christmas. Just his head in an oven.
I actually do. Right before that scene, Donkey Kong is like complaining how sad he is, and Klump's like, oh, you're alone like me. He's like, oh, no, I have lots of friends.
I'm not a loser like you.
I sleep in a big bed with my wife.
I do love the line of Klump saying, like, that's all I've got.
I've hit rock bottom. Yeah.
As a total Pollyanna, Klump's story did get me a little bit. I was like, all right, Klump, I feel for you.
No, it was not a fun character. I just barely remember from the game. What's he take, like two stomps to the head and you never see him again?
They name every henchman who is now an individual character in the series.
Hi, this is Ben Domenech, the host of the Federalist Radio Hour. We're a daily show coming to you 5 days a week from Washington, D.C., where we interview our nation's top journalists, politicians, authors, chefs, economists, entertainers, and more. If you're looking for a contrarian discussion on news, politics, or culture, give us a listen and subscribe at PodcastOne.com, the new Podcast One app, or at Apple Podcasts.
Here are some useful car tips you might not be aware of. A coffee filter and a little bit of olive oil can clean your interior. Removing excess weight from your car will improve gas mileage. And you can place your key fob to your chin to increase its range. Weird, right? Well, here's another tip you might not know about. TrueCar also helps people get used cars. That's right, TrueCar isn't just for buying new cars. With their certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars, you'll enjoy real pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience, whether you buy new or used. And with TrueCar, users can see what others paid, so they know if they're getting a good deal before buying. They're also more likely to enjoy a faster buying experience by connecting with TrueCar certified dealers. When you're ready to buy a new or used car, check out TrueCar and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
A little drum music, if you please.
Get ready for the hippest tape of them all. Donkey Kong Country, The Legend of the Crystal Coconut, now on video.
Hand over the coconut!
Based on a hit Nintendo video game, it's the first feature-length 3D animated adventure and features all your favorite characters.
I'm sorry, have we met?
So get ready for a thriller of a gorilla.
Here comes Donkey Kong!
You'll go bananas for Donkey Kong Country, The Legend of the Crystal Coconut, now yours to own on video.
With Domino's week-long carry-out deal, you can carry out large three-topping pizzas and now medium three-topping handmade pan pizzas for $7.99 each. It's pantastic news.
Cut. Puns?
You mean pans? Calling all pan addicts for two layers of cheese on crispy golden crust. So grab your panty packs, because Domino's large three-topping pizzas and medium three-topping handmade pan pizzas are $7.99 each. It's pandemonium. Pantastico. Carry out only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
Now we have introduced a second evil force in Captain Scurvy. When I first watched this for the first time, this is the only episode of the series I've seen, I assume Captain Scurvy was working for King K. Rool, but apparently he's doing his own thing.
That's racist to assume, but
We're talking about
all lizards are alike. I know.
When we're talking about assets for the show, they live in the jungle. There are three kinds of animals.
Yes.
And one of them is a single parrot. And there's alligators and gorillas. That's all you have.
For both money-saving reasons and plot purposes, Scurvy is just Clump. Like, they just gave him a different texture color.
Just how Raider did it. Put a hat on him.
Yeah. But meanwhile, his two sidekicks, like, one of them, the bigger green one, is like, you didn't finish this guy. Like, he's not even a finished design.
He shouldn't be.
He's got no back. They can never turn him around.
Yeah, that's right. And no real textures on him. Like, you look the worst of any character in this thing.
Yep. So Scurvy the Pirate vows to steal the crystal coconut on the one day that is the easiest to steal it.
A truce would not be respected by a pirate.
No. Because what did it say? Because we're scum or whatever. Yep, we be scum. Was that what they say?
They say scum sucking 8,000 times in this episode.
So basically, DK is raiding King K. Rool's vault for presents.
So he's stealing. Basically, like, he's stealing things for presents.
But Clump is letting him steal. And there's one joke in this that I love. Donkey Kong is off screen, of course, rummaging through trash that they're not going to render.
Nope.
And he's like, what are these clown clothes for? And you don't see them because when the animator saw that, I'm not making clothes. Yeah. I refuse to make clothes.
That'll take like 6 hours.
Fabric?
We can't afford that.
But after this, we get one of many reprises of this song that eats up about 4 minutes of screen time because the characters can never finish it until Donkey Kong solves the riddle. So here is Clump singing this song he knows most of.
I have great presents for everyone.
I wish I had someone to give presents to, and a warm house to go home to, and knitted slippers with webbed toes, and bognog, and homemade mud pies, and whenever you're sad, lonely as can be, just remember me.
Remember who?
I don't know. I can never remember the last part. All I know is someone sang it to me when I was knee-high to a newt, and I can't remember who.
So, yes, that's a major plot point in this episode. Also, this is the fifth time you've used mud pies as a joke. I mean, yeah. Come on. It's
think
only,
of a different thing.
It's not even funny once.
No.
We do see an actual pie. We see a banana cream pie.
That's right. The candy has made.
It looks fucking disgusting.
It looks gross.
Like cartoon food always looks amazing
look
and
good.
Delicious.
Pie should look good.
It looks
especially.
Like complete shit.
But it's a pie made of like eight polygons.
Yeah, that's true.
I can't tell how bad this is at all. I just can't.
It at least is telling a story. Yeah. At
it
the
does
very
tell
least.
A story.
Yeah, so,
but I looked down to do research, and every time I looked up, I'm like, is this still on? Is this the same episode? I got the wrong episode. There's
it took
no
me
Christmas
like an hour and a half to watch this stupid show.
And I'd also say, unlike every other cartoon we've watched for this, Santa Claus is not in danger and doesn't have to be saved by Donkey Kong. They did a different story than that.
He's out of the equation because they have to make a new Santa
They'd
Claus.
Have to make a Santa Claus.
Oh, Pac-Man, if you can't find the super pellets, the reindeer will never get it.
Frank Welker's nowhere near this show.
Yeah, he's too expensive for this show. So DK is going to be the guy in the Festival of Lights ceremony carrying the crystal coconut, but of course he's hanging out with Klump. And while he's gone, the pirates come to steal the crystal coconut. Let's hear it.
What brings your skanky hide to
I come to claim me birthright, the crystal coconut.
Isn't there anything else you ever want besides the crystal coconut?
Yea, there be one thing I be wantin', even more than the crystal coconut. But even a pirate can't have everything he wants. Now hand over the crystal coconut, or I'll blow you to bitty.
At least he's not stealing the presents.
There be more, Booty?
You wouldn't dare.
Die, I would, cause...
Pirates be pure scum! Donkey Kong!
It's a good yell.
It's a good yell, yeah.
Yeah, we were just saying, like, no one does a good Gilbert Godfrey impression, except for, like, two people in this episode. Yeah. Frankie as well.
Yeah. I can read that. And yeah, like... Like, Diddy is like the screech of this episode. Like, what about our presents? Whoops!
Oh, stabbed a guy.
Mr. Belding. Well,
yeah.
It's good to learn that it was originally in French because as a kid, as a 9-year-old, I was like, why don't any of their mouths match up? And I just assumed they were speaking gorilla and we had it dubbed gorilla.
Yeah, you can see all these songs in French on YouTube, by the way.
Oh, God, no.
And they're even more beautiful. So they move on from the vault. So DK still can't find a present. So they start writing K. Rool's personal library. They render one book that they copy-paste all over the floor. And at that point...
Everybody loves books.
Yes, exactly. And at that point, they find out somehow that Scurvy is going to steal the crystal coconut and...
through cameras. There's
through
like
cameras,
a camera.
Yeah.
If I was K. Rool, I would point a camera at wherever Donkey Kong lives. That's
exactly.
Smart planning.
Who's gonna stop? Wait, hold on. What's the fiction with them now? I forgot from the games. What's the conflict?
K. Rool constantly steals his banana, his giant pile of bananas.
The hoard. Yeah, the hoard.
Banana hoard, and he has to get it back. And then in 2, K. Rool just cuts to the chase and kidnaps Donkey Kong himself.
Well, did you fall down that rabbit hole of like what Donkey Kong is which when looking at this episode?
Oh, yes, totally. Well, in Rare's version, Cranky Kong is the Donkey Kong of the arcades. Donkey Kong is Donkey Kong Jr. grown up. And Diddy Kong is a guy he – is a little kid he adopted because he's not the same species. He's not his son. He's a monkey, not a gorilla.
I read – altering accounts.
That was Rare's version of it.
Okay,
but when Nintendo started making their own Donkey Kong Country games, they changed that.
On the wonderful wikis, which I encourage none of you to go to if you have any respect for your own time, this Donkey Kong in this show is referred to as Donkey Kong the Third because
so he's the son of Junior.
He's the son of Junior. But like – where does that cranky shit come from anyway? Like,
well, in the Rare
games, I remember he made a reference to being in a situation like Donkey Kong, but I read it as I did the same things. Mm. All Donkey Kongs do this.
Yeah, like the first thing you see in Donkey Kong Country 1 is Cranky playing the Donkey Kong theme on like a Victrola before Donkey Kong comes in and wraps it up.
And he's on top of the girders.
In the Rare games, they make it pretty clear from the stories he tells that the story of Donkey Kong, the arcade game in 1981, is his story and he experienced it.
If you say so.
He also says really that Sonic and Earthworm Jim suck.
Yes. Which is all canon in the world of Nintendo.
But more importantly, so Klump realizes that if the pirates, Captain Scurvy, steals the crystal coconut and K. Rool doesn't, he'll be in trouble. So once again, DK and Klump team up and their amazing plan is to trick the pirates into stealing gunpowder to put on their ship and then they're going to kill the pirates with explosions.
Yep, murder them.
Murder them. but Captain Scurvy overhears this plan and kidnaps them. They're really stupid. They're talking too loud about this plan. And on the boat, Scurvy gives away more of the incredible mystery of this episode.
At long last, the crystal coconut! It be the only booty I ever be truly wantin'.
I thought there was something else you were searching for.
Aye, it be me long-lost brother. Whenever you're sad and lonely as can be, just remember me, your big brother, Scurvy.
Now, where have I heard that before?
It happened four times in this episode. That's where you heard it before.
I thought one it was hour ago. Like, yeah,
that's the ending to Coco.
Yes, I know.
No spoilers.
Nobody else here has watched Coco, but
yeah,
me.
Like,
you,
no,
but
no spoilers.
In minutes.
When I watched this episode, I was like, "This is the plot. This is a major plot point in Coco. This very same thing."
Yeah,
forget it. Like wiping it away from my brain.
There's like a Darkwing Duck episode with the same plot point too.
It's
like
the pilot, right?
This lullaby that gives the passcode to this
red, blue, green, yeah, blue, yellow,
that's it.
Blue. Yeah.
And so, of course, DK's amazing brain puts it all together. And
after
he figures
30
out,
seconds, yes. Just like the camera just holds on it for so long. I feel like they wanted children at home to be yelling at him, like, "It's the song, Donkey Kong!"
It's a real Dora the Explorer moment. But yes, we hear the song for the last time, but it's a touching duet between Klomp and Scurvy.
Huh, are these two of the biggest goofus doofuses you've ever laid eyes on, or what?
Yeah, it's pretty sad. Sad. That's it.
I'm sad.
The poem.
Whenever you're sad.
Love that voice.
Lonely as can be. Just remember me. Your big brother, Scurvy. Just remember me, your big brother, Scurvy.
Yeah, that's it. That's the last line. But how did you know the ending?
How did ye know it at all?
Why am I named after a vitamin C deficiency? So there you go. The mystery has been solved.
A long-lost brother, which... The story of how he got lost is pretty depressing, too, that Klomp burned down his family's house, and then they lost everything, and he was separated from
them. The entire swamp he burned down.
Yeah, that's true. Got to think he killed some people.
Yeah, and so Scurvy took the blame and had to become a pirate.
Mm-hmm. Which he wanted to do anyway.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he was named Scurvy. What else do you do with your life after that?
Yeah, you would have figured Scurvy was a fake name that he made up when he became a pirate, but from the song, he's always been Scurvy.
The writers try to get some sort of canned Christmas moral out of it,
sort
and here it is. It doesn't really work.
Well, DK, it's not the way I would have done it, but I gotta admit, this is the best Congo Bongo Festival of Lights Day ever.
Yeah, but all the presents got blown up. Now we have nothing to celebrate Festival of Lights Day with.
Today isn't about presents. It's about being with family.
That must be what Inka Dinka Doo was trying to tell me.
No.
Look into the heart of your enemy to discover the greatest gift of all.
And the greatest gift of all is spending time with family and friends.
Yeah. Even villains need family.
I think Inka Dinka was saying, pull the hearts out of your enemy and experience the greatest gift of all, conquering them. I am Inka Dinka.
Eat it and gain their power.
Yes. Defeat the purple parrots.
Donkey Kong's present quest kind of gets lost in the middle of this. Like that he's a bad gift giver is pretty much forgotten after like minute 10.
That's why I never thought I was watching the right episode. We are not following the two plot lines I was introduced to early on.
And at the end, Klump and Scurvy are bonding. King K. Rool comes back and they have an argument with each other. And Klump is like, they're arguing over me. This is great. But the writers are like, you know, parents, you had a baby in like 1990. You're watching this shit. You're bored. Let's give you a Seinfeld reference.
Arr, the sea was angry that day, brother. And so was the great white I be fighting off.
So I know this is a Seinfeld reference. Here is the clip of George Costanza talking about his brief flirtation with being a marine biologist.
The sea was angry that day, my friends.
So watch that entire clip because it's a great speech that I think Larry David wrote and Jason Alexander memorized in like 2 minutes or something.
Yeah, he like wrote it right before he tells that story on some – I think Jerry told that story once at a talk show.
It's a perfect scene.
Jason Alexander memorized it in like 4 seconds.
And I love when he just pulls out the golf ball.
Yep. This is the first episode that made me want to watch in Living – or Seinfeld instead of in Living Color. Huh. I remember watching this with my
dad. Did you guys think of that Seinfeld line when you heard that? The sea was angry that day, my brother.
No, it was like, thank God this is over. I only have to look at the credits for 4 seconds.
I thought of it, but I assumed that – just a common that's like it's a dark and stormy night.
I just felt like it was like a writer
so
thinking
specific.
They were clever. Yeah.
The sea was angry this day. Like that feels so specific to me too.
And this was the 90s in which Seinfeld was huge. But that was Donkey Kong Country, the Congo Bongo Festival of Lights. Is Congo Bongo the place where they live?
I think so.
I thought it was a disease.
I think it's the name of that their banana shaped island.
Maybe, but
you see the same establishing shot like 8 times in the episode.
But man, that Big Brother Scurvy song is sung like 6 times. I think they kill like 4 minutes with that.
That's true, yeah.
I got to write it once.
And they only – yeah, it's just one verse. Like it's one verse long or maybe two. And they just get to repeat it over and over again and have like 8 dudes sing it throughout the whole episode. Oh, God. Yeah, it's – a lot of filler, a lot of nothing. No Santa Claus. It's not Christian. Blah.
No,
but and
I still think the Mario and Sonic ones are worse, like 1,000 times worse.
Yeah. Oh, I mean the Sonic one. It's not only him. Sonic saves Christmas by doing an obstacle course.
Yeah, by winning an Olympics with 2 entrants. Yes.
And then he becomes Santa.
Sonic at the end agrees to replace Santa. Santa's like, "You're better at this than me, Sonic. You'll be Santa now." All right, that's extreme.
Chili dogs for all. All a good night.
Make sure to buy this game that'll never come out, kids.
Yep.
Yeah, so like I feel no need to revisit any more of this. And
absolutely not.
I know we have slightly younger listeners. By younger, I mean people that are 30 or 28 or 29. Like let me know right into the comments or let me know on Twitter. Like what did you think of us talking about this? Do you have fond memories of this series? Like I watched the Mario Brothers Super Show and Super Mario World back-to-back a lot.
Every
and
day.
Like there's some weird nostalgia for that even though I know it's crap.
Well into the Club Mario period.
Exactly.
I was on board.
But I want to know if any of you guys out there have fond memories of this. Are there any final thoughts about Donkey Kong Country, the TV series?
The show fucking sucks.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
It's a bad show. There's
ugly.
No reason to watch it.
I like the songs and how cheeseball they are. And I like bad musicals sometimes. And also they've hired, at least for Donkey Kong, a good singer who I like hearing him sing bad songs to Inka Dinka Doo about his autographed picture of King Kong.
I thought it was I'm trying to think of something that was out during that period. I don't know your Danny Phantoms that well. Also a Nelvana thing.
That was like 2005.
I know, but I'm out of that period. I'm in college and I'm paying attention to other things. And I don't know what else is in the 1997 period, but it's faster. It has real jokes. It's more self-aware and they're pioneering a technology that's relatively new to the television medium. So it's – I want to say I respect it a little bit. I will never watch another episode of that show.
The characters' voices is grating is, say, Toads.
Yes. There's nothing like that.
Or Mario.
Or also,
Sonic.
Sonic. What are you doing?
I had to do that.
Put me out of my misery, Sonic.
But we also never got a character that's like, Donkey Kong. I think by 1998, that was not a politically correct voice to do. Any character that says, duh.
Yeah. No, stay out of Congo Bongo.
Duh, I want those power pellets.
I've had a lot of problems with aphrodisiacs. So, yes, thanks for joining us, folks, for another Retronauts Holiday Special. It's been so much fun, and I'm worried about the future, but we'll get to that later. Let me tell you about me. You can find me on Twitter as Bob Servo, and I will let everyone else talk about what they're doing because, frankly, I am fatigued by talking about this nightmare program.
You can find Matt and I at Laser Time, and we just did We've got two Christmas episodes for you this year. One about Christmas alternatives, like Ludachristmas, Futurama's Xmas story, and of course, Star Wars Life Day. And what was the other one we did? Christmas sequels?
Yeah, terrible Christmas sequels, like Home Alone 3, Santa Claus 2 and 3.
If there's a piece of holiday entertainment you even mildly enjoy and it's existed for 20 years, it has a sequel that has fallen by the wayside. We unearthed all of them.
They even did in It's a Wonderful Life, too, didn't they?
They almost did.
Oh,
there was a trailer for it.
Zuzu in
There's
it,
a trailer for it. And they had to take it down. But they were totally going to make It's a Wonderful Life,
Amazing.
Too. With the last surviving cast member. It's just astonishing.
I want to kill myself again.
And I'm HADREYG on Twitter. And if you follow me there, you'll see updates on Talking Simpsons, the show I do every week with Bob and Chris, where we go through every episode of The Simpsons from the beginning, including Christmas episodes. Actually, it'll be probably in like April we'll get to the next Christmas episode.
Crypt or
Marge Be Not Proud.
Marge Be Not Proud.
Yeah.
But you can also find tons of other cool stuff
Which
on
also
there.
Also has an animated Donkey Kong.
Oh, it does. Yeah.
And Sonic and Mario.
Yep. Take it.
It's the company's fault for making you want it so much.
A true classic. So look forward to that in the future. And keep supporting us on Patreon, please, folks. We love it. We need it. We live off it.
So as always, there's only enough heat in this place to go around for one person. I must send all of you out into the cold, but it's been nice. I mean, Chris and Henry have survived. Matt is new to this, but I hope that you don't have to hollow out one of these guys to sleep inside of them. It is not a great time. I think.
Mean, I'm going for Hank.
I know what you want. Oh,
I think he smells bad on the outside. I'm sorry I had to say it, but please get out.
Well, that's that, I guess. You know, Steve, it doesn't really matter what happens next. If this is the end of Retronauts, so be it. At least we got to spend one last holiday together. And my voice is back to normal, which is great and convenient.
But, Master, I have some important...
And, Steve, I'm not going to give up without a fight. I'm going to walk right into that conference room, politely wait for the boss to finish his conference call, and give him a piece of my mind. Maybe podcasts aren't trendy. Maybe they aren't snackable. And only some of them are about Game of Thrones. But what is there for people trying to lower their productivity during a boring day at the office? I'll tell you what, podcasts. What makes a tedious chore like doing your laundry just like hanging out with a group of your best friends while also doing your laundry? Podcasts! Why, even at this moment, as I say these very words, someone is using this very podcast as a way to avoid annoying family members during the holidays, which I'm pretty sure is the reason for the season. And if those people want a mattress or a box full of stuff, or maybe some prices on used cars while using the offer code RETRO, well, that would be even better. And that's what podcasting is all about, Steve.
Master, I am moved, but the new boss left and left behind this letter.
Dear Mr. McKee, I regret to inform you that as of today, I'll be leaving Retronauts to pursue other opportunities. I'm joining my frat buddy Mitchell over at his startup Zongle.com, the only website that lets users store animated GIFs in customizable e-lockers they purchase with Bitcoin. We've already secured $32 billion in venture capital. Since your Patreon doesn't contain enough funds to pay for my standard golden parachute, I'll simply wish you a Merry Christmas and say goodbye via this note instead of having to make eye contact with someone who's clearly less than me. Dictated but not read.
Master, it is a Christmas miracle.
Yeah, you know, I guess he wasn't all that bad. Just mostly bad.
To mark the occasion, Master, may I play my favorite Christmas song?
Ah, what the hell. You just play whatever song your little robot heart desires. This is a time to celebrate, Steve.
Loading music protocol.
Steve, is this the song from Donkey Kong Country?
Yes, isn't it beautiful?
Well, folks, it looks like Steve here still needs to learn the meaning of discipline. And it also looks like it's time for you to mosey on home via wormhole. If you make it back, have a great rest of 2017, and we'll see you next year.
Hello, new friend. Master shoved me into the wormhole in case any of his guests accidentally end up at the end of time. But don't worry, I brought some entertainment to keep you happy for the rest of eternity. Hooray. Now we should be sitting pretty for the next several thousand years.
Domino's week-long carry-out deal, you can carry out large three-topping pizzas and now medium three-topping handmade pan pizzas for $7.99 each. It's pantastic news.
Cut. Puns?
You mean pans? Calling all pan addicts for two layers of cheese on crispy golden crust. So grab your panty packs, because Domino's large three-topping pizzas and medium three-topping handmade pan pizzas are $7.99 each. It's pandemonium. Pantastico. Carry-out only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
The Mueller Report. I'm Ed Donahue with an AP News Minute. President Trump was asked at the White House if Special Counsel Robert Mueller's Russia investigation report should be released next week when he will be out of town.
I guess from what I understand, that will be totally up to the Attorney General.
Maine's Susan Collins says she would vote for a congressional resolution disapproving of President Trump's emergency declaration to build a border wall, becoming the first Republican senator to publicly back it. In New York, the wounded supervisor of a police detective killed by friendly fire was among the mourners attending his funeral. Detective Brian Simonson was killed as officers started shooting at a robbery suspect last week. Commissioner James O'Neill was among the speakers today at Simonson's funeral.
It's a tremendous weight to bear, knowing that your choices will directly affect the lives of others. But cops like Brian don't shy away from it. It's the very foundation of who they are and what they do.
The robbery suspect and a man police say acted as his lookout have been charged with murder. I'm Ed Donahue.